A federal court upholds a New York State airline passenger's Bill of Rights. As you might imagine, the airlines have appealed. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into this Aero News special feature, and thanks for downloading us today. My guest is Kate Hanai. She's a frequent guest, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We have Kate on fairly often, but that's because there's a lot happening with this story, and Kate is pulled in a bunch of different directions, but is the person who knows everything that's going on. Kate, thanks for taking a few minutes out today.
Thank you, Paul. How you doing?
I'm doing great, but then I'm not on an airliner.
I'm not either, so I'm doing pretty well myself.
Let me start out by giving you an opportunity to pick a nit from a story, maybe not a nit, from a story that appeared on Aero News on Tuesday, the 29th of January, in which we were talking about a new Washington state law proposed for an airline passenger's Bill of Rights in that state. The line that bothered you was this. According to Bureau of Transportation Statistics, Seattle-Tacoma International Airport had only two flights delayed on the tarmac for more than 3 hours in the past 2 years, unquote.
Well, as soon as I hear the words, according to Bureau of Transportation Statistics, I have this gut-wrenching desire to strangle someone, only because their statistics are not valid. They don't gather any statistics for canceled flights or diverted flights. And, you know, again, I'll remind the listeners that all of the JetBlue flights of last year were canceled. And so those flights will not be included in any statistics.
Right.
My flights, all of the 124 flights involved in my event that were diverted, those aren't included in any statistics because they were diversions. So the government has not required that the airlines report those to the government. And so, you know, we as passengers, as sheep, you know, headed into the jet, we have no idea that this flight may have been diverted how many times to how many, you know, destinations and sat on the tarmac because it's never going to be reported. And so when they talk about in 2006, there were only 36 jets that sat on the tarmac for 5 hours, that statistic excluded all of the flights of December 29th, which would have been my flights, which were 124 flights.
Mm-hmm.
All that's right. Remarkable. So SeaTac and a variety of the other airports in Washington have had long stranding events, maybe not as long as the JetBlue flights, maybe not as long as the Austin flights. I don't know. We have six-hour reports up there from our members, but they have happened, and the fact is they can happen, and that's why we're pushing for states' bills.
All right. Now, let me ask you this then. Given that as a backdrop, how do these two flights they're talking about get into the statistics?
The two flights that get into the statistics are there because those were long taxi outs, real long, that happened prior to takeoff, and they did take off. So the only ones that are counted are prior to takeoff, not canceled, not diverted, and not arriving. So if you arrive in a destination and you sit there for 5 hours, that's not counted either. You're counted as late, but it doesn't show how long you sat on the tarmac.
Let me get you into a conversation about these bills in particular, because it looks as though, I remember your quote, we're stinging them like a beehive, unquote, in the last time we talked about this. What is happening now with the various different states which are approaching this from a state level?
Well, we are stinging them like a beehive. We have... California is working on a law, although their legislative process is a long one, so it could take well into this year to get a California law passed, but there's a great deal of commitment to that with Mark Leno's office. We have the Washington law, which is fast-tracked, and we believe that will be done by the second week in March, hopefully before that New York appeal is heard again. And Rhode Island, who I'm flying out to Rhode Island on Monday to testify Tuesday before their Judiciary Committee, you know, basically what's happening, we've got Florida, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, California, Washington, New Jersey, Rhode Island. All of these states, and I believe there's a half a dozen more that have cropped up in the last few days that I need to check on, that are drafting bills. And what happens is that I go testify, and then the airlines go defend. They go, and every time they go defend, they call it the patchwork quilt. Well, gee, we don't want a patchwork quilt of laws. That's what they say. And the other thing that's totally disingenuous that they say is we don't support state regulation. We support federal regulation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you, they have not supported federal regulation on any level that's meaningful.
Well, I have to observe that when they say we support federal regulation, they probably mean we support a court finding that federal jurisdiction preempts all these state laws. And the B part of that is that we have much better relationships in the U.S. Senate than we do in state legislatures.
Yes.
I mean, is that a fair assessment?
Absolutely. There's a lot of money flowing directly from the airlines into our Senate. And the states don't kowtow to the lobbyists. Every one of the state legislators that I've spoken to in different states, the minute that they go out in the press and say they are dropping a bill, they are approached by lobbyists. In fact, Jonathan Payton in Arizona, he actually called me and said, I am being visited tomorrow by U.S. Airways. And that was the day after he dropped the bill. And he was asking for my help.
Mm-hmm.
And then Ken Jacobson in Washington, Senator Jacobson, told me that the airlines were, Alaska Airlines, were in his office every day trying to stop him from passing this law. Southwest also went in. Now, Southwest I could understand because they could actually compete based on their customer service.
Mm-hmm.
But none of the other airlines that I'm aware of that have gone in and tried to lobby against this could. So at Rhode Island, the same thing. Florida, the same thing. The airlines are very, very powerful, and the undercurrent federally is always where the money is. The states seem to have a whole lot less to do with the lobbyists and a whole lot more to do with the people.
Okay, let me look at it from the airline point of view here for a moment. If you're
going, no.
Yeah, because Kate, this should be a softball.
Yeah, okay.
if I'm an airline, at what point does it become less expensive for me to just put a legitimate contract of carriage with enforceable terms up and not have to deal with any regulation? Because at some point, if I can say, well, you know, you bought a ticket and here's the contract, sir, what is the issue? Then that would seem to cut it off in a way that would be much harder and more expensive to do through the legislatures.
You're right. That would be one thing I would have thought they would have done a long time ago. And they've had ample opportunity to do that, but yet even right now, this minute, it hasn't been done. And why they, I guess, evidently there's still some level of confidence there that they don't have to. They submitted comments to the DOT on the ANPRM, which is an advance notice of proposed rulemaking, saying that they had a real problem with having to add any contingency plan to the airline's contracts of carriage, saying that it would be wouldn't allow them to compete based on their contingency plans. And they were very concerned about incorporating into any contingency plan a number of hours to deplanement. And the reason for that is the possibility of a pandemic. If there were a pandemic, then they would not want to have to let people off the planes.
Mm-hmm.
This
yeah.
is their reason. If
okay.
you read the ANPRM, I almost passed out when I read it.
Well, on that note, we're going to let Kate get some air and take a break, and we'll be back in a moment with Kate Hannai of the Coalition for an Airline Passengers Bill of Rights. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Finally, aviation headsets have evolved. Clarity Aloft is the next generation of headset design for a number of reasons. Clarity Aloft headsets are known for the superior clarity of sound. They're lightweight but rugged enough to meet military specifications. Best of all, they boast better noise reduction than ANR in the speech frequencies that matter most to you. For more information, call 612-747-3197 or check out the innovative Clarity Aloft headset on the web at clarityaloft.com.
Welcome back to today's Aero News special feature. I'm Paul Platt here with Kate Hanai, founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights. We're talking about the very recent phenomenon of passengers' Bill of Rights laws coming up for consideration in state legislatures. It's happening all of a sudden. Kate, in the case of the New York law, it was upheld in a lower federal court based on the premise that these safeguards for passengers are not regulation of airline services, but health and safety issues. How are the airlines going to appeal? What's the premise for the airlines' appeal of this law?
Well, evidently they're saying it's preemptive. And they've actually been watching this Supreme Court case that is Maine versus tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
And possibly they have some sense that that's going to get settled before their appeal date in March. I don't know. I hope not. But I don't even know how that case loosely relates to what we are talking about. But they evidently, and so is the Department of Transportation, who's completely also in the bag of the ATA, unfortunately,
mm-hmm.
Are looking to that case as preemption, like their basis for what is going to be preemptive. And so the airlines are banking on that case is going to be decided in their favor. And they're banking on in March that they're going to be able to overturn the New York ruling based on both that and the Deregulation Act of 1978. And they're clearly unmoved by Judge Kahn's ruling, and clearly they're having a very hard time with this. It's not about the health and safety issues for them. They don't want to have to pay the fines.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about putting a little water and granola bars on the flights after 3 hours. It's that they don't want to have to pay the fines for not doing so. And they were having these violations almost every day. If you look at the statistics for this last year and the long taxi outs, there were violations almost every day, if not more than every day.
What would have been violations if the law was there?
If the law was there, correct.
Well, in fact, you told me about one in Albany, New York. People contacted local media rather than contacting the coalition. Tell our listeners why that's not a productive thing to do.
Well, it really isn't in this case. It may be in the case of a media outlet that will get you on the evening news.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is the person that they contacted in Albany, first of all, they didn't contact them until after the event. So they were already off the plane. They were already home. And I understand that, because when people are in these events, it's crisis time. I mean, they're trying to survive and figure out next steps. They're not thinking, okay, I need to get out my high-definition video camera, and I need to start taking footage right now so that I can show the newscasters what happened on this plane and how devastating it was for the children and the elderly and the frail to be held hostage for 8 hours, which this did happen in Albany on January 3rd on a United jet.
Mm-hmm.
And this writer called me to find out what they should do instead of them calling me. Now, they probably didn't know to call us, but they should call us, and they should call us from the jet when they're stuck, which has been happening a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But also, more frequently, we hear from people after they get to their destination, and even more likely, it's after their vacation's over.
Right.
And they start thinking back, oh, God, that flight a week ago, that was horrible. I want to call the coalition and tell them about it. And then they do, and it's like, oh, man, people really have to understand how important it is to document these things. Even on the Internet, often, you need to see some evidence, like photos of things that have happened. You want to understand and be able to internalize what it's like.
If people can at least contact you while it's going on rather than later, it seems to me there's a better chance of getting a local TV crew there.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. We have 700 media outlets that we have the ability to call based on interviews I've done over the last year. And I will actually contact the media for them if they call the hotline. If they will call the hotline, I will actually reach out and make sure that they get the coverage and that they get their camera out and that they don't waste their cell phone battery and that their needs are met from that point on. Calling some you know, print reporter that's very local in Albany probably isn't going to get any of that done for them. And I'm going to be able to coach them what to photograph. For instance, on my flight, the toilets overflowed. But American Airlines says they didn't.
Right.
Had I thought, you know, in my horror of horrors, to take out the camera and take it in the bathroom and get a photograph, which honestly never would have occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
But now it occurs to me every time I hear of a toilet overflowing or backing up or becoming unusable or gross or sticky floors or whatever happens. People have to document it.
All right. Well, listen, give people the hotline number so that if they are in this circumstance, they can pull out their phone and call you.
Yes, it's 877-FLYERS-6, FLYERS-6, and our website, flyersrights.org. They can download our Stranded Passengers Emergency Kit and our Survival Guide onto their PDA cell phone or their laptop from inside the jet. And that has specific instructions for how to get a hold of certain media, how to make a diaper out of a T-shirt if they run out of diapers, how to call the coalition, the hotline number, how to sing a song, how to do an appropriate protest without violence, and a number of things.
Well, Kate, I'll wish you continued success. You know, philosophically, me personally, I would rather see this solved through market forces, but I don't really see that happening now.
Well, you know, Bert Rubin, the guy I'm taking to Rhode Island, is libertarian,
mm-hmm.
the attorney that I'm taking. And he really doesn't support regulation in a lot of areas. But with regards to this, he doesn't see any hope for the airlines correcting the problem.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a lot of libertarian members who say that the worst thing for a libertarian is being falsely imprisoned.
Yes, yes. Oh, great line. Well, Kate, we'll leave that as the punchline, and we'll hope to talk to you again soon, and continued
okay.
good luck.
Thank you, Paul.
Kate Hanai is the founder and executive director of the Coalition for an Airline Passenger's Bill of Rights, or as it's sometimes called now, just Flyers' Rights. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at www.aero.news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Enjoy Super Bowl weekend and have a clear and unlimited day.